Welcome, everybody. Happy holidays. It is Tuesday, December 9th. We are heading into the holiday season. I'm so excited to be here with you today. 2 days till my birthday, and I will be 44. I think 44 is going to be a really good year.
I think so, too.
Yeah, because I think that, you know, two fours. Somehow
That's
I
right.
like the way that it looks. It's like
eight,
four.
Two, 4 plus 4 equals 8.
And what's that?
Well, this is the universal symbol, the infinity symbol, yeah.
Bam, guess when I was married?
No.
888. 888.
No.
August 8th.
This is totally your year.
Yeah, and because 4-4 and 8-8, and somehow it's just all going to make sense, and that's what's so fabulous about being a little crazy. Somehow, everything is a sign. Well, welcome everyone. Yeah, welcome everyone to the call today. We are so excited to chat with you. Of course, my co-host, Director of Operations for my companies, Miss Yvette Murray. She's a fabulously intelligent woman and creatively gifted, and we do amazing work together. And so I want to make sure that she gets a big call out because she, you know, Yvette, you're like my coach.
You are
the person I bounce a lot of, whether it's work ideas off of or even sometimes struggles that I'm going through. And you always, what I love about you, well, there's a million things I love about you, but one of the things I love about you is you're never a chips or down. And that's a lot of pressure. Like, you know, that person's like, never let them see you sweat. You have that personality that is like, never let them see you sweat, which you have to have that place. I'm sure you have it in your own personal life where you have someone that gets to see you sweat.
I think Tiki, my cat. He sees me get out of the shower, too, and goes, ah!
Tiki the cat. So it's like kicking the dog, but Tiki the cat. No.
Yeah,
so,
in all fairness, I have Dave as well, so yeah.
Yeah, it's true. No, but we're a good team, and I'm glad that you're able to do these calls with me. And today is like every other Tuesday at 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. That's 10 a.m. on the West Coast, and over in England, it's about 6 p.m. in the evening, so we are welcoming everybody to the call today, and we're excited to chat with you, to support you, to coach you. If you have a struggle that's been going on in your life, something that has been happening and you just really need some support, some advice, you can even write it in through the webinar for those of you that are on the Chat with Crystal page on our website at the SWOT Institute. You can write in a question and we can answer it that way. And if you do have a question, star 2 will raise your hand and put you in the sort of the, I told Yvette she has to run the switchboard today, but we get to see your hands as they go up, and we're here to support you. Now, before I ask Kelly, because Kelly is one of our SWOT sisters, and Kelly posted a question on the SWOT Sisterhood private Facebook page, and I said to her, why don't you call in today? I think it would be really ideal for you to call in, and maybe we can talk about this out loud. Of course, Kelly's anonymous. We're just using her first name, and maybe, Kelly, I'm going to just go to you right away, and we're going to have a little conversation about what you were chatting with us on, and then maybe I can support you. Kelly, I'm so glad you called in today.
Hi, thank you.
I'm glad. So, Kelly, maybe you could give us the Kohl's Notes. Do they have Kohl's Notes in the U.S.?
No.
Okay. Well, Kohl's Notes are in Canada, and it's all the little cheating kids in high school. They go to the bookstore and they get what's called Kohl's Notes because it's Kohl's bookstore. And it's like all of the like major reading books that are great big huge books in English literature are all taken down to a little tiny book that's the Kohl's Notes version of what the book is about. So you need to tell us the Kohl's Notes version of what you've been going through and maybe the question that you asked, and then I would love to support
sure.
you.
Sure. And by the way, they're called Cliff's Notes here in the U.S.
Cliff Notes. There you go. You got Cliff Notes.
Yeah.
You got Kohl's Notes.
Okay. Basically, I've just been struggling for a really long time in my marriage where my husband just wasn't very supportive at all, and it sort of forced me to become very independent, kind of do everything on my own. I had to really lower all of my expectations. I had sort of zero expectations from him, and, you know, I keep seeing – so that's sort of how we were operating, and it was frustrating. It didn't lead us into anything good. We're still married, still always working on it, and I've recently, you know, told him that he needs to change, and he has st- stepped up and he has tried to make more of an effort and be more present at home and all of those good things. And I keep seeing what you post about that women need to allow men to take care of them. And I've always been so strong and so independent. And now I'm sort of wondering, well, how do I still maintain being that way? Because I don't really personally just like to rely on anybody, which might be my own issue. But how do you maintain that and still allow him to support you or help you or do the things
support,
that we're supposed to let him help with?
Yeah, okay. So let's talk about when I say that, what does that mean to you? When I say to you, a man is, women have to allow women, a man to support us, to take care of us, to, what does that mean to you when you hear me say that? How does that come out sounding?
It makes me think I'm supposed to let him be there for me.
What does that mean? Be there for me. Let's first, what, because here's the thing. A lot of it is our definition of what words mean, and it's interesting how we all sort of different concepts, even words, mean different things to different people. So when I say that to you, what do you take that as? I need him to be there for me. I need to let him be there for me. Okay, what does that mean?
That means that I need to let him. I guess it means that I should have the expectation that he should be helping me, whether it be with the kids at home, that it shouldn't all fall on my shoulders.
Okay, so let's backtrack. Let's backtrack just because of where you're just saying. So let's imagine, let's go back, and I know it's hard, and I'm married too, and I totally get it, and I have kids, and I was in a longer-term marriage. I was in a 12-year marriage the first time, and now we're 7 years in. I get that things change and all of that stuff, but let's go back to when you and your husband were just dating. Tell me what your personality was like when you first met him, and go back to when you really were into him.
Well, when I met him, I was only 18. I didn't have, I'm 37 now. I didn't have any self-confidence or anything like that. And honestly, I think that I married him because he was the only guy ever to stick around. And we did basically whatever it was that he wanted to do, and I was just glad to have someone, but he was nice. You know, he always took me out to dinner and paid for things and, you know, did all those gentlemanly sort of things that they're supposed to do. But in terms of, like, making me a priority, in terms of, like, feelings or spending time, that didn't happen. But, you know, I was much more quiet. I was much more reserved. I wasn't outspoken, and then that all sort of changed as I got older.
So then it started to change. So as you got older, it started to change into what? Let's go back, 8 years. What was going on in your marriage 8 years ago?
Oh, let me think. Eight years ago?
I don't know why I said that. I'm just, let's go back. What was,
okay.
So you're 18, now you're 38, right? So did you say 38?
30, yeah, I'm almost 38.
Okay, so 20 years you've been with him. Let's go back, 8, 10 years ago. Where was the relationship going then? You said things started to change. Were you starting to now become a woman?
Yeah, you want to know, honestly, I told him, I remember I was like 27 or something, and I said, I think I really want to get a tattoo of our little girl's names. And he laughed at me, and he's like, you won't do that, blah, 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 blah. He goes, I'll tell you what. He goes, I'm so sure that you don't have the guts to do it. He goes, I'll pay for it if you do. And it felt such an insult to me. And I was like, you know what? I'll show you. And I went out and I did it. And I came home and he saw the bandage on my ankle and he thought it was fake. And I had to prove it to him. I'm really bleeding. I really had this done. And I looked at him and I go, you owe me $65. And from there on, it was like a complete 180. If he said one thing, I did the opposite.
So what it almost sounds like is, so let's imagine, you've heard me talk about mother energy, daughter energy, woman energy.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard me
mm-hmm.
talk about these. Would it be fair to say that when you first got together with him, you were in daughter energy, you were like a little girl, you were helpless, you were like a helpless child, in a lot of ways, you're just, you had moved in with him. He was like the father. He took care of things. He paid for things. Even the way you say it, like, he took care of things and paid for those things like he should.
Right.
That's like what he's supposed to do.
Right.
So there's already an attitude between you and him that's unconscious, that I'm the daughter and you're the father. And then you almost started growing up emotionally in your marriage, and then you became the rebellious teenager.
Oh.
Does that, yeah. No, I'm just asking, does that seem like, okay, now I've hit 27 and I'll show you, like, I'm getting a tattoo and you owe me $65. And
yeah, but you know, it was something that I meant a lot to me, and it felt more of an insult because I talked to him like, you know, I've been thinking about this. I've wanted to tattoo.
But,
it,
but you get that
blah,
it
blah,
sounds
blah.
Like a child and her dad? Like, you get
that
conversation. I'm not judging you at all. I'm not judging you at all because part of the dynamic is him. He acts like a father, then you act like a daughter.
Right.
Okay, so then you, let's imagine that you're continuing to build up the child archetype. Like, on the one side, I want you to imagine a triangle. And on one side, you have the parent at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
One side, you have the child at the bottom. And at the top, you have the adult. Now, let's just say that you stayed in the child archetype. Let's say you weren't swinging back and forth into the parent until maybe now. But let's just stay with that. So you're in this child role, and you're down at the bottom. You're sort of like a helpless little girl, and you're just really young. And I get it. You're 18. What were you supposed to know about being a woman at 18? But you got a guy, and he's sort of like the father, and you're like a little girl, and you're the helpless child, and then you're starting to build. And as you're starting to build, you're moving up in from a passive position as a little child, like passive communication, into becoming more passive-aggressive. You're building in your strengths. You're starting to become more passive-aggressive. And some of the archetypes that I talk about that are passive-aggressive in the child would be like the rebellious teenager. And then as she gets a little older, she turns into the seductress. So I think in times, I think we talked about that at different times, that you, at one point in your marriage, you decided to step out.
Right.
Because now you're building. You're now going, I was like a little girl. I became an angry teenager. I got my tattoos. And then I had an affair. And
that was all at the same time.
Like all
at the
same time. But you get what's happening? So now I'm pushing up, and I don't want to be pushed around, and I don't want to be your child, and I don't want to be your daughter, and I'm my own woman. And something changed in that. Now, did he ever find out about that?
Oh, he did, yeah.
Okay, so the dynamic changed, and suddenly, tell me how you felt when that happened, and he found out about that, and you found out about that, and that came out. How did that make you feel?
When he found out that I
had
cheated,
yes.
Oh, I felt horrible. I felt terrible that I had hurt him.
Yes. So I'm going to guess that you swung over into a parental role.
Yeah. Well, for a long time, I was very back to being submissive because it was very much like
you were shamed.
He was like, I want to know where you are. I want to know who you're
right.
talking to.
So there, now you know, turned blah, blah, blah. Into now you turned into more passive again. You slid back down. So what happens is, I want you to imagine you're in this power struggle, and you're passive, and you're pushing up, and you're becoming passive aggressive, and then you're hitting, and you're feeling like you're angry. The truth is, I'm angry. I got married really young. I've been with you for 20 years. I'm trying to be my own woman. I'm trying to become a woman. I'm trying to grow up. I'm trying to have my independence. I'm trying to. And in all that, we get into these power struggles. And so what happened to your husband at that point? Didn't you share that he sort of did a 180 himself, and all of a sudden now he's out and about, and he's, didn't he step out on you then at that point?
He had a series of three emotional affairs. One of them may have been physical, but I don't know.
Yeah.
The third one may have also been physical, but that
you
was
guys
long
have
distance.
Just had a lot of like,
yeah,
so then
it was
all
terrible.
Sudden, yeah, terrible. So like, you're not, you're operating like a teenager, and then a young woman, you become the seductress. And then here's what happens to a lot of us when we feel ashamed and we feel caught and we feel bad and we feel guilty and we go, oh my God, I feel so guilty. We swing over into our parent role. And it almost became what I'm guessing, and I'm just guessing this because this is just what in my work happens so often. Then you switch into the martyr mother now, and your husband now is acting like a naughty boy.
Yeah, I mean, we both sort of agreed to stay together, but it's like he just does nothing.
Nothing.
I mean,
now he's a naughty boy.
And
you're the mother.
Always,
and now you're the mother,
but,
mad at him. Now nagging at
oh,
him.
Oh, yeah.
Now you're the nagging mother. You've switched over, and now he's become your naughty boy. And this happens. Like, it's over and over in our relationships, and I see it in my own relationship, and I see it in where I just go, oh my gosh, look how they just keep swinging. It's like instead of everybody stepping up higher into the higher expression of themselves, like keep climbing the ladder up to the adult, we just start to swing back and forth between I'm a passive child, I'm a passive parent. I'm angry. I'm getting frustrated. I don't know what to do with myself. I feel guilty. I slide back down. We stay in this power struggle, and we're at this power struggle with our partner. And so I want you to imagine that if you could just push up above aggressive, like you're passive, and then you come passive aggressive is nagging, right? Like you don't do anything for me. You're not there for me. You're slamming doors. You're two ships passing in the night. He's doing what he wants. That's passive aggressive. Like he's in the marriage, but he's not in the marriage. So
mm-hmm.
you guys are like in a power struggle, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And it you know, and he's even with the kids. If I'm home, it's all on me.
Okay.
Know?
So I want you to imagine
very
for a minute.
Recently.
I want you to imagine for a minute. That you're not going to be his parent. You're not his parent. And this running a family is not up to just you. Now, when I've said to everybody during telecourses or any of this, that a man is designed to give, I want you to think back to when you first met him. When you first met him, he was designed to give. In fact, you even said it like it's what he's supposed to do. It's actually
right.
So wired into relationships until all the dysfunction comes in. But the truth is, if you boil it right down to the physical act, a man is the giver, the woman is the receiver. So receiving is uniquely feminine. It's actually a feminine quality to be able to receive, but not demand. There's a very big difference between demanding and receiving. Receiving is this really uniquely feminine, beautiful quality. And when you can receive with grace, then it actually feels manipulative because it's so easy to get your way, but it's not. It's actually designed this way. And it actually feels like when you step into the flow and you step into real woman energy, and it's going to take a little transitioning for you to get there because you're swinging back and forth between parenting him and being angry, like the domineering matriarch, probably was sliding over into being a warrior. Like you probably swing back and forth, sort of like, I'm a warrior, I'll do it on my own, I don't need you, I'm pissed
yeah.
off, I'm fed up, and that's sort of like the highest, the most empowered archetype of the child archetype until she switches up into being a woman. And then swings back, and then she's like the domineering matriarch where she's mad at her husband and she's going to be forceful and she's really domineering and she... And, you know, so it's sort of like we all move between these archetypes, Kelly. This isn't just you. This is all of us. And until something shifts and we start to realize, okay, so when you're saying I need him to change, you know you can't change him.
Right.
You can't change him.
And we've had the same conversation multiple times over the years, and he says to me, he's like, I know, he actually told me recently, he said, I know that I'm a disappointment to you. I'm sorry. I'm glad that you keep me around, but I understand if
How
you
sad.
Kick
How
me
sad.
Out.
How sad. What do you say to him when he says that?
I said, you know what? You're not a disappointment to me. I said, I want a partner. I said,
okay.
I want you. Want
Beautiful.
Me.
Stay with that for a minute. How do you speak? Like, how do you, that's receiving, just so you know, to say you're not a disappointment to me. We've both let each other down over the years. We've both done things to each other, and we've both kind of emotionally checked out. I want this marriage to be beautiful. I want to love you. I want to make love to you. I want to take care of you. I want you to take care of me. I want us to be a team. Is that a conversation you can feel comfortable having?
You know what? We did have the conversation when I said, I really want you on my team. You know, I really meant like for us to be happy together and on the same page and working together with the kid to take
yeah.
care of the kids. And he goes, well, it's not your team. And I was like, ugh.
So you're still in a power struggle. To be on my team, it's like he's saying, it's my team. I'm the man. He's trying to say,
and I didn't,
I'm the
I didn't
man.
Mean mine.
I know
I didn't
you
mean
don't.
Mine
no,
or his.
Kelly,
meant...
it's not you. It's I'm not. This you have the courage to be so honest to come on these calls. So I applaud you. I'm not saying it at you. You're right now a teaching tool for a lot of women listening.
Okay.
So just know this isn't at you. This is like I could be saying exactly the same thing you said because we can't see ourselves in our own relationships sometimes. We can't see the way we speak and the things. And so it's easy for me to tell you looking in on this is what receiving would mean. That I know it almost feels like, okay, wait a second. I'm the one that has to change at first. It doesn't mean you are going to overgive now and be like, okay, so I'm going to cook all the meals, I'm going to do all the things, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it with just joy and love. And whatever he sends my way, I'm just going to be so loving. And it's not that. It's a shift that happens in you where all of a sudden you decide, like, tell me what you're doing. And again, this may seem like, how is that going to change my marriage? Just go with me on this. What are you doing in your life right now that makes you feel wildly alive?
Well, I don't know about wildly alive, but I'm working on growing my business, and that makes me feel excited.
Okay, great.
I'm passionate about that.
Beautiful. So when you're working on your business, you feel what?
Happy.
Yeah,
I just love it.
Perfect. And how often are you getting out of the house and just dressing yourself up and feeling really beautiful and doing something that just makes you feel like such an independent, empowered, beautiful woman?
It's years. I don't remember.
See, that's partly why the marriage falls into that place. Because a woman, when she's really in her power, and I don't mean power struggle, I mean her beauty, her femininity, her love, her sensuality, her sweetness, her sexiness, her strength, her independence. Like when... if you hadn't been 18, and I'm going to, you know, 18 and really young, but when we think about a really empowered single woman, I want you to think, like, imagine in your mind you as an independent single woman right now. Let's just imagine your marriage dissolved and you were out there in the world and you were a single woman.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about your personality now that you know who you are and you're becoming a woman. At least you have glimpses, even though it's been years, you've told me, that it's since you've gone out and just felt like $1 million and been on your game, feeling independent, empowered, sexy, bam, just bam. So it's been a long time, but can you imagine what that would feel like?
Yeah, I think it would be really nice. And it's funny that you said that because I recently told him that. I said, you know, I feel like a single mother.
No. Okay, and stop me. Okay, I don't even want to hear that. I don't want to hear that right now. I'm coaching you, so I'm going to help you.
Okay.
I don't want to hear you say, this is what I want to feel. Then feel it. This, I'm tired of feeling. I don't want to talk about that part because that's the negative. That's the power struggle that you two are in, that you stay in. The power struggle is, I'm tired of feeling like this. That's a parent archetype. I'm a mother. I'm mothering you. I'm mothering the kids. I'm mothering everybody. I don't do anything good for myself. I don't remember the last time I went out and felt sexy and beautiful and alive, and I'm blaming you, and it's your fault. And then he goes, what the hell? And then what does he say? Like, even though I told you I didn't want to get into this part, this conversation, but what would he say to that? I know. I got to do more. Or else he says, I don't know what you want from me.
Yeah, he'll be like, well, Cal, you know, I work 8 hours a week.
I work 8 hours.
Blah, 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 blah.
Okay. I want you to imagine right now you and your husband split up. And you were on your game. Okay? You're on your game. I want you to imagine you still love him and he's the one you want to be with, but you realize I can't and I won't continue doing this like this anymore. Now I'm going to be a single woman and I'm not going to fall into a pity party depression. I'm going to be the woman I said I was going to be. That I couldn't be with him because it was his fault. So I want you to imagine you're going to be that woman now. Now, I want you to think about how you would show up when you see him. You got to pick up the kids. And you're this empowered, independent, sexy woman on her game. And he's seeing you. You're going on dates. You're picking up the kids from his house. What kind of energy would you think you carry around with you?
Well, when you first said that, I sort of felt intimidated. When I'd see him, like when I imagined seeing him, I would feel like, oh no, like almost a little scared.
Okay, so what we have to work on is getting your confidence up. Your true inner confidence. Your true inner confidence, so that it's there in your marriage or if you were not married. Because what I'm hearing is you would leave this relationship and you'll still be the martyr mother that has the kids 90% of the time. And
mm-hmm.
you'll be angry all the time that he's not coming around and he's not doing his part. And if you think guys become better when you break up than they were when you were married, you're dead wrong. If he was an idiot when you were married, he'll become a super duper 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 idiot when you're divorced. Like, you know, it's only the guys that are like, he was such a good dad when we were married. Okay, there's a good chance he'll still be a good dad. If he's not a great involved dad when you're married, let me tell you, you will be for sure a single mother if you split up. So my point is not, should you stay together or split up? I'd love to see you stay together, but I'd love you to stay together and get your mojo back. When you have
mm-hmm.
your mojo, there's an energy that you give off, whether you're married or single. It's like a pheromone. And all men, even your own husband after 20 years, will smell it, feel it, taste it. What the hell is going on? What is she up to? He'll feel like a baboon that has to pound his chest when you're going out because, oh, my God, she's mine. There's an energy. Do you get what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, I totally
And the energy right now that you're giving off is I'm angry, I'm pissy. I don't even remember the last time I looked like $1 million and felt good about myself, and it's your fault, and you're not there for me. And he goes, why the hell do I want to be home? I don't even want to be here. I don't want to be here. I suck. I've let you down. I'm a disappointment. You're my mother. You're always angry at me. I'm a bad little boy that's not done well, and I'd rather just go out and play with my friends.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And this is what happens in all kinds of our marriages. And then we wonder why our husbands are like, so then the woman might go, well, what does that mean? I've got to be, no, you're not doing it for him. You're doing it for you. You're doing it for you. You're getting yourself back. You're getting your mojo back. You're getting you back. And what would that look like? And how does that, I can't explain to you how it changes things without you having to say anything. I can't even explain to you until you experience it how all of a sudden people start perking up. Things are changing. He's home more. He's doing things. He's like, oh, where are you going? Oh, you look great. Wow. And you're not angry. You're not doing, well, thanks. You never tell me I look great. Thanks for noticing now. You're not doing that. You're saying, thank you. Thanks. It's a shift that has to happen in you. It's a sexiness. It's a strength. It's an empowerment that shifts in you. And there's no power struggle, and you're not doing it to be manipulative, and you're not doing it to piss him off, and you're not doing it to have an affair, and you're not doing it to, you're doing it because this is who you need to be in the world, whether you're married or single, or meet someone new. And if you meet someone new, you think about your husband as somebody new right now. I'm getting my game back, and I'm going to think of him as someone new. How would I show up in a new relationship? How would you show up if you were in a new relationship?
I hope that I would sort of demand more respect, but I'm afraid.
Okay, I
want to
just ask you something.
Like,
did you just say I would demand more respect?
Yeah.
You would ooze respect. You would never have to demand it. You would ooze it. You would just give off that feeling of, I am a woman, and men just know to take care of women. They don't know to take care of children and mothers, but they do know how to take care of a woman.
Okay, when you just said that, that made so much sense because I have had to mother him so much, and I have talked to him about that, and I'm like, you know, you're like my third kid. I'm like, it's kind of hard to get hot and bothered for you. You're like my son.
Right, and
you
if
know?
You keep saying that to him, he's so emasculated.
I
and
know.
You've had an affair. So he's just like emasculated. How can he be your man? Well, he can if you get your woman on again and you act like a woman. I promise men respond to women. You know, there's that song by Percy Sledge, When a Man Loves a Woman. That song
yeah.
didn't go that big and stand for all these years if there wasn't truth to that song. Women are designed to love their children. And this is the way the waterfall is supposed to be. Man loves his woman. Woman loves her children. Children then love. And people will often say, why are kids so spoiled? Well, because they don't know until they grow up, and then the man will love the woman and the woman will know to love her children. But men will do for their woman what they will not do for anybody in the world when the woman's really a woman. And she's not supposed to turn around and do it back up to him. And not that I'm saying he's above her, but he's designed to be, I will love, nurture, protect you, take care of you, be there for you, and you'll receive his love, and you'll let him know how much you're receiving him, and how much you love him, and how much you respect him, and how much you, and he feels manly, and he's not going to let you down. And then you're filled and you're full and you take care of yourself and you look good and you're taking time out. And then you have energy and time for your children because you're so fed and full. And then your children feel good. And there's a harmony in the family.
I would like that.
But when you're pouring it out and you're actually mothering him and then you're mothering your children, who's taking care of you?
Nobody.
Men's testosterone actually soars when they can be, can they serve and protect. It's in their hardwiring. A man's testosterone will soar when he feels like the man. You know, we travel a lot, our team, and my husband will come with us. And, you know, it's never occurred to me to ever be jealous. I've got all these beautiful women, and we're doing all these retreats, and it never. I'm the woman to my man. I'm his woman. And that's how I feel. I'm the queen. Like, I'm the queen. And it doesn't mean I can't pick up the luggage when we're going through the airport, but I never would. He would always get it, and he would get it for all the girls. And sometimes some of the people on our team are so used to being so independent that they rush over and they're standing, and I say, just come and sit down. They're like, no, 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 I've got it. And I say, let him. It makes him feel good. Let him. Let him get everybody's luggage. And he comes back like the man, and everybody's happy, and then he gets in the car. And why do I care? Why does that make me not independent? I make my own money. I have my own things. Why? He'll get us all in the car, and he'll and – and I'm fine. I'm, like, chauffeured everywhere I go. I'm fine with that.
So and I'm not, like, being nitpicky, but are you saying that – so, like, my husband will carry a heavy bag for me, right?
Yeah.
But if I were to go and just sit and wait – while he, like, stood at the, you know, at the luggage rack, and him,
yeah.
He would be furious with
okay,
me.
Okay, this is what you do. You don't just go and sit and wait like you're a diva. You stand
yeah,
there, and you go up beside him, and you say, I don't know. See, my husband and I have done it so many times. Let's say it's like, I get the, okay, let's say he does the grocery shopping most of the time, but let's just say I even got the groceries. I don't bring the groceries in the house. But I don't do it like, I'm home. Can you come and get the groceries? I don't ever ask. I don't even do it that way. People are like, hey, babe, as I'm coming up the road. Like, it's just such a – it's happened for so long now. It's the way you talk. You know what? All my friends, every one of my girlfriends will say – they giggle when they hear the way I talk to my husband. I go, how do you do that? And I go, it's just easy. It's so easy. And he feels like the man, and he feels happy. Oh, babe. Babe, I'm nearly home. Da-da-da-da-da. I got lots of groceries. And, oh, that's okay. I'll come out. Okay. Is it okay if I just leave? I'm just going to leave the car. Should I leave the car running? Or, no, no, no. Turn the car off. Okay. I love you. Oh, you're such a good man. Oh, you're such a good man. I love you, babe. I love the way you take care of me. And I just come in the house. And the groceries are brought in. So if you're standing in the thing beside the escalator, I mean, the thing is coming around with all the luggage, and you stand beside him, and you squeeze his arm, and you go, babe, are you going to grab the luggage? Do you want me to get it? And he'll go, no, no, don't. It's okay. Do you care if I go sit down? No, go sit down. I love you. You're such a good man. I love you. You're so good to me. And then you sit down, and then he'll look over and glance at you, and you give him a little smile. Do you want me to get his coffee? No, no, I got this. Go, okay, I love you. I just go sit down. And now as we're walking towards the luggage, he'll say, honey, go sit down. I'll get the luggage. And I go, oh, I love you. You're so good to me. That's receiving. That's receiving. And he's giving. And he feels great about it.
Okay.
Is any of this, or does this just sound like far-fetched and crazy to you?
It feels almost uncomfortable for me.
Because it's been so long.
It feels like, oh, like.
It's been so oh. long. It's been so long. I'll go down the stairs and go, oh, I'm hungry. What should I make for dinner? And then I'll go, oh, honey, you worked really hard today. I can make dinner. No, it's okay. I can make dinner. No, I get it. Like, I know it just seems, it's lovely. It's just lovely. It's just lovely.
No, see,
do you need me to get you some wine tonight? Oh, do you mind going out and getting a bottle? No, I don't mind. Would you like white? That's how we live. And I'm not saying it's all the time.
Wow.
We sometimes have our tiffs and fights. But if men can feel like they're so appreciated in their giving, you won't believe what they will do for you. If you turn into a sucky baby, if you turn demanding, if you act like a diva, it backfires. There's got to be a way that you do it that they just go, oh, she's so good to me, and she's been like that from day one. So how would you turn it around? It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to be little things, but one of the things is going to be you taking care of yourself and doing some things to make yourself feel like a million bucks, but not with pissy, screw you, I'm going to be single soon, and you're not going to have this. Like, you're doing it like, you know, I just want to feel good again. That's what you say to him. You know, babe, I just haven't been feeling good, and we haven't been good, and I just want to start feeling good again. I want to be better. I want to be a better wife. I want to be a better mother. I want to be a better woman. I want to feel better.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go work out. I'm going to the gym. I've got myself this new outfit. Come down. Do you want to go for dinner on Friday night? I bought myself a new outfit. Maybe we can go and have a date night. And when he tells you you look beautiful, you say, thank you. That means so much to me. I love when you compliment me. You know, I don't get to hear that from anybody else. I love when you tell me I'm beautiful. That's like ding, 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 ding in his ear.
Oh, okay.
I did something right. Oh. Oh, wow. I'm okay. She still wants me. She still loves me. My compliments matter to her.
All right.
What do you think? Process this with me. Because I'm not trying to tell you what to be. I'm trying to help you see how an adult operates in a relationship.
It just seems, when you're saying this, and I'm imagining, well, how would this go in my house? And when you said, oh, your husband will, you know, oh, I'll go get the bottle of wine or I'll make dinner. My father is like that for my mother. And, my mom could be sitting there watching TV at night and they're watching, you know, her show on TV and my dad's just sitting there letting her watch her show.
Is he happy?
And, no, but... My dad's just not a happy person in general. He has never, ever, ever been a happy person in general. However, he's exceptionally good to my mother. And he'll go in the kitchen, say, to get a drink of water, and she'll go, oh, Chris, could you make me a bowl of ice cream?
Did you hear the way your voice just said that?
Yeah, and that's exactly how she says it.
Your mother's mastered it. Now, sorry that your dad's a grumpy man, but you just said it the way you're supposed to say it. Oh, Chris... Can you get me a bowl of ice cream? And then
you know what he says? Do you want peanuts on it? Or do you
want peanuts? Yeah. You get it?
My husband gets so mad, and he'll be like, your dad is so whipped for doing that for your mother, and she should get off her ass and get up and get it herself.
Because he's so angry at you right now. He's so angry at you right now. So that's how he perceives any man that would do that for his woman. He's not seeing that happy wife, happy life. Now, it'd be different if your mom was going, Chris, when you're in the kitchen, get me a bowl of ice cream. No, that would be awful. That would be horrible. But I bet you she does, and I bet you when he comes in, she looks up and makes eye contact and goes, oh, I love you. Thank you, honey, or something.
Yeah, she goes, oh, thank you. And I have tried that. Like, if he gets up to go to the kitchen, I'll say, can you get me?
No, because it's manipulative now. You can't do that now. You can't go from, I'm disappointed in you, and I'm just, our marriage is no good, and I'm just feeling like you're just another kid. Oh, honey, can you give me chocolate cookies?
can you give me the cookies?
Yeah, because now it's, manipulative. It's not authentic.
And you know what? He'll do it. He's in there. He'll, I'll say, when you come back in, can you bring me the cookies? And, he will, but I look at him out of the corner of my eye, and he's making his face, and he's rolling his eyes, and he's doing it.
And then when he does that, you giggle. And then when he does that, and he goes, rolls his eyes, just don't look up and go, why are you rolling your eyes? Just giggle and go, I know. Thank you. I know.
Oh,
I'm a pain in the butt. I know I'm a pain in the butt. Just bring me the cookies, babe. You know? And you keep it lighter. Lighten up.
Okay.
Just
lighten
up.
Okay, I can do that.
And
try
this for a little bit. And I promise you it's unbelievable. Don't talk about your problems. For the next 2 weeks, do not talk about your problems with your husband. Do not talk about what he's doing wrong. Do not talk about how unhappy you are. Do not talk about anything in the marriage. Just focus on happy things, nice things. He'll want to come home. He'll want to be around. He'll want to help. Make a little extra time. If you work from home at a certain time, what time does he come in from work around?
Well,
and I don't care if all the feminists are going to yell at me. Don't bother telling me. What time does he get in from work around?
He gets home from work at 5, and I work till 5.
Okay, so you're already out during your workday, and you're looking nice when you come in.
No. I come home after him in my scrubs after a long day as an ED nurse.
Okay. So how often would you think it would be fair to say that you would have the energy? Because at first it's like working out, taking care of, going in and running yourself a nice hot bath at 8 o'clock at night or 9 o'clock at night and lighting some candles and sipping on a glass of wine. Not that it has to be the wine. It could be a nice peppermint tea. And taking the time to put on beautiful cream and a little bit of perfume and a nice nightie and putting some lip gloss on or just something nice, nice little, I have like beautiful little peppermint balm for my lips and just doing that and really taking, not throwing on sweats, but how often do you think that would be something you could do for yourself?
Once every couple weeks.
Okay. You need to do that a couple times a week. At least once a week. Like, I do that every day. Like, you need to remember you're a woman and shave your legs and put on some cream and not come to bed with anger. Just come to bed with beauty. Just beauty. And it doesn't have to be lingerie. It's just something pretty that you feel really feminine and you're pretty and you come to bed and you just give them a kiss goodnight and you're happy and see where that goes.
Okay.
And not be mad about it. Not say, did you like my lingerie? You didn't even say anything about it. Just nothing. You're just infusing your relationship with some lighthearted love and happiness again. Men want to be home when their home is happy and loving.
Okay.
You want to get help around your house? You got to pick up in other ways that respond to them visually. A nice smelling wife. I don't care if people say you shouldn't have to do that. Well, if you want to keep some passion, and a man who is passionate about his woman is going to stay checked in.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
But it's even further than that, Crystal, because when you dress like that or you smell like that, whatever, you feel it. It's like you said, it's an energy and it's an essence.
Yes,
so
you feel pretty.
You feel that. Yeah.
It's for you. It's ultimately you're doing this for you. And you'll have a bounce in your step. You know, there are so many times over the years that I think about, you know, I'm going in to do a meeting with someone. Let's say I'm at a board meeting, and there's like a group of people around the table, even men. Because a lot of board meetings, let's be honest, we don't have enough women that are VIPs of companies. And just the knowingness that I've gotten myself ready and taken my time, and I have a really pretty bra and nice panties, and I've put on cream, and I think to myself, bam. If you knew what was under here, like, I don't mean it, but it's a feeling of what I feel that no one's ever going to see. It's how I feel as I walk into a room.
Well, yeah, I mean, I do feel much better about myself when I take the time to shave my legs.
So take the time to shave your legs today.
Okay.
And just try putting on some music, turning off the TV. And if you want to watch TV, just practice putting on some music and doing things that you would do if you were a single woman or you were in a brand new relationship.
Oh, that's funny you said that, because in that whole leg shaving thing, because I said, Mike, I go, remember when, like, on Fridays you would come see me at school because he lived here and I was away and he would drive every weekend to see me. And I go, and I would skip half my class half my day of classes, and I would spend all the day in the shower, like, shaving and getting ready and doing my hair. And blah, blah, blah. I go, and now you just get, like, well.
Yeah. Look what he gets. Look what he gets now. Right?
Okay.
And
yeah.
You're acting, looking, you're looking and acting like a mother. You're not looking and acting like a woman. So he's acting like a son, like a bad, naughty boy that does nothing around the house and he isn't participating. You can't lose your womanness.
Fair enough.
Okay, I can feel it. I feel there's just been something, just something there just went by him, right?
Yeah, I guess I can't deny it, you know? I mean, what you're saying makes sense. And I could see how...
And if all of a sudden your guy...
I have let this happen.
Yeah, we do, because we don't realize we have all the power. Women don't realize we have the power. We have the power, and I don't mean it power hungry. our man will do cartwheels down the aisle of the grocery store if we ask him to, when we're in our power.
You could have some real fun with this.
Yeah, it's fun. It isn't about manipulating and not. You're going to be happier. You're going to be happier. Your life's going to be happier. Your marriage is going to be better. Your man's going to be helping more. Your life's going to be better. So why not do it? You're going to be happier. Your life is going to be better.
All right.
All right.
I'll try. I will try.
Yeah, and just do it. Don't try. Do it.
Okay.
And just ask yourself at times. Just do it like this little mindfulness technique. Just check in with yourself throughout the day as you're doing things. You're upset. Something's you're about to do something the way you've always done it. What archetype am I in? Am I in a mother? Am I the parent? Am I acting like daughter energy? Or am I in my woman energy? Am I in mother energy, daughter energy, woman energy? Or am I the parent, the child, or the adult? And,
yeah, and I
can
I
just
will
do that. Just yes, go ahead.
Lately, I've been very, and I've been thinking about it from, you know, the last telecourse and, that I took with you, and I thought, oh, I am really in that whole martyr mother. And I'm like, look at these dishes that you girls left me in the sink. And you know,
yeah.
And I'm like, oh, God, what am I doing?
Yeah, so how would a woman act? How would a woman act when you think a woman? If I was just so in my woman energy, how would she handle it? That's such a simple mindfulness technique that can change everything. You don't need therapy. You don't need to talk about it for hours. You just take back the power yourself. Okay, I need to do what a woman would do. And when you're parenting, don't parent your daughters from the mother, from mother energy. Parent your daughters from woman energy. Teach them how to grow up and be beautiful, independent, empowered, happy women by being one.
Yeah, that's what I want more than anything for them.
By being one. They will be what they see. They will not be what you say. They will be what they see.
I'm going to write that down.
It will be what they see, not
that's
what
they see. That's
so
funny because that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm writing it down.
There's a tweetable moment.
Yeah, totally.
Kelly, I'm glad you called in. I hope that helped. It was really
definitely
great coaching
helped.
You. And I think a lot of us, we have some food for thought on how we need to show up in the world and how we show up in our relationships. And if we show up as a woman, you're going to naturally get respect and dignity and help and love. And you just have to allow yourself to receive it.
All right.
All righty. That's what the art of receiving is. So it was a great conversation. Thanks so much for having the courage to call in and be so vulnerable. It's amazing.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Crystal.
Thanks, Kelly. And I'm going to go to someone else that's raised their hand. Who's this? I'm not even sure. Cell phone. Last four digits is 5455. You raised your hand way at the top of the hour. That's
oh, you. Hello. This is hello. Can you hear me?
Yep.
This is Erica.
Hey, Erica. How are you?
I'm good. I really related to your last caller in a lot of ways, tons of ways, because I was young when I got married, and then It just didn't work out. So all of those things pretty much happened, but I decided to leave and to end it.
Yep.
And, you know, I wanted to, I didn't feel like I was living my life because we were just stuck.
Yep.
Unhappy and stuck. And I turned 38 and I said, I am going to live. I'm just going to not be here unhappy, wasting my life.
Yep. You left your relationship.
I did. And now it's 3 years later, we're divorced, and he's pretty much the same person he's always been, and I know you can't change anybody but yourself.
Yeah.
But it seems like I'm still stuck. I don't know if I was, because I was in the mother role for so long, but I feel like I'm still stuck worrying about why he's doing this or why he's doing that. When it's not my problem anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is the thing. This is what I was trying to say to Kelly, is like we think when we leave them, we're no longer having sex with them, they're going to be better to us? No.
No, way worse.
They're not. It's way worse. Like, unless this guy is just an absolute saint while you were married, then why would you have left him? But
right.
Unless he's a saint, very rarely is the guy become a saint when you get divorced. They become You know, they're the odd time. I've actually seen, there's one couple I know that he was just desperate to get out of the marriage, but he loves his kids, and he actually loved his wife, but they might as well still be married. They're together all the time, but they're not married, and he mm-hmm. does more for her now than he's ever done for her. That's probably the only time I've ever seen that happen. But, so you're in a situation now that you left, and mm-hmm. it's 3 years later, and it's the same thing, and this is why I always say it's not about leaving your relationship. It's about finding yourself.
Right.
And this is what we do. We think we're going to leave the relationship to find ourselves, but we don't do any of the work. And if we could find ourselves within the relationship, maybe the relationship could actually
would
be saved.
Right.
But that's no point in crying over spilt beans. You decided to
leave,
you're on
and
your
I'm
own.
I'm fine with that. Well, I'm in a new relationship, but I'm very happy in my, I do have my own space, my first apartment. It's funny to say at 39, 40, you know, I do feel very independent.
Yeah.
We have our relationship, but during the week I'm with my kids, taking care of my kids.
Yeah.
But there's still something that has me stuck. I don't know why I'm so angry that he's found somebody else that will take care of him and just pay for everything. And I don't know why it bothers me that he's just found
Why does it bother you? Let's talk about it. Because you're blaming someone, and when we're stuck, it's because we're stuck in a place that we are afraid. We just move into the place of we're holding on to the should-have-beens, the could-have-beens, and the ought-to-have-beens.
Right.
He should have been this. He could have been that. It could have been this.
Right.
It should have been that. It's not.
It's not. He never was and never
will
be.
It's not. It never was. It never will be. And you don't want him.
Right.
You chose to leave him.
Mm-hmm.
So why do you not want him to be happy with someone else? Why does that make
that's
you angry that he's gotten
that's
happy
That's a very
with
good
else?
Question. I guess it's the disappointment of like you said, the should've, would've, and the breaking up of the family, even though I'm the one that left. Maybe I have guilt.
You have guilt. That's where stuck is. I want you to imagine that we're going to do a ladder, and we're going to go from the ground up. And I want you to know the lowest place someone can feel is a place called shame.
Mm-hmm.
And shame is I'm ashamed of what I did. And then, or ashamed of who I am. Shame is the worst place. Shame is literally like it's deep in your core, like who I am is no good. And then one
mm-hmm.
ladder up is a place called guilt. And guilt is,
mm-hmm.
even if you needed to leave, you had to leave, you feel guilty that you left and that you changed everybody's life and you changed your children's lives and you changed his life. And then right one level in there is stuck. Like I want you to
mm-hmm.
imagine apathy where we blame, where we're a victim. That's what it is. And
mm-hmm.
then one level up is grieving. So the reason we get stuck is that we have a hard time grieving and letting go. But we don't want to feel guilty either. So we stay right in between guilt and grieving.
Mm-hmm.
And we stay in that place. And the reality is you have to tell yourself the truth. Who do you blame? Who do you blame? Tell yourself the truth. Who do you blame for this?
As much as I want to blame him, I'm sure if I could have changed a little, he would have changed a little, just like you were talking to Kelly.
But you're not, I know that that's the politically correct thing to say, and there's a part of you that's high resonating, there's your higher self speaking to, so your higher self says, I blame me. But the wounded part of you, who does the wounded part of you blame? Because it's the wounded part of you that's keeping you stuck, not the higher part of you. So the wounded part of you, the wounded part of Erica feels upset about what and who? Like, my parents didn't teach me how to be. My husband didn't know how to be. Who do you really blame for this?
I blame him.
Yeah, I blame him. I blame him for what?
For not being what I expected him to be when I was 17 and he was 26.
Erica, I blame him for not being who I want him to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel this need to control and make it be what I want it to be. And he wouldn't do what I wanted him to do. And that's a loss of control.
Right. Definitely have control issues.
So that's what that comes from. That's fear of letting go. I want you to imagine just above grieving is facing your fears. And for you to get unstuck, you have to know, like, I was young and why couldn't you have been the man I thought you were going to be and why couldn't you be what I needed you to be and write all that out. The truth is
mm-hmm.
give yourself time. And when I say it this way, I have to do it. I actually just did a a blog on Crystal's Corner this week. You can watch it. It's about being stuck, and you have to write
that
letter.
I saw that. Yes, I just saw that, and I'm going to do that.
So write that letter of all the could-have-beens and should-have-beens and ought-to-have-beens. Let yourself grieve it. Share it with someone that you trust, not him. Because
mm-hmm.
you've already cried a million times to him about what you wanted him to be.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't be it.
Yeah.
If he could have been it, he would have been it.
Right.
He couldn't. He couldn't be who you needed and expected him to be. He could only be himself.
Right.
And love resonates so much higher. Love actually is, I love you, not who I need you to be. I love you. Love isn't about controlling someone and making someone be what you want them to be. But you can't even know that, who you need and what you're, and do due diligence and find the right partner when you haven't reached that level within yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So as you do the work
right.
of healing yourself, you know, grieving what could have been and should have been and ought to have been, and what are you really afraid of? Like, what is it that you're so afraid of will happen now?
I guess I always wanted to feel needed, and I guess that loss of control, it's hard for me to release that feeling of being needed and taking care of everybody.
Yeah.
When I need to take care of
myself. For a lot of women, being needed is the closest thing we have ever come to feeling loved.
Mm-hmm.
When we were little girls, if we could just do enough, we'd feel like we could be enough. We were taught that you have to do and take care of and be needed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what mother energy is. Mother energy is, and that's where the guilt and the stuck and the grieving and the fear is all over there, meshed all in there, because I'm not needed anymore. What does that mean about me?
Right, right, right.
What does that mean about me?
And I mothered my mother.
Yeah, so you've been in that mothering role for so long
mm-hmm.
that not being needed, you almost don't have a sense of identity.
Right. And so, my kids are getting older.
Who are you really angry at? You're angry at your mom.
Mm-hmm.
You're angry at your mom because why
yeah.
wasn't she the mother you needed her to be?
Exactly.
You know? And those are the letters that you need to write. And it's not to send it to your mom to hurt your mom, because this is not your higher self. This is not your soul writing the letter. Your soul's after
no.
everything.
And
but,
she's passed away now. So
yeah,
that,
and you're
I mean,
and you
still.
But yeah, we carry these old wounds. We carry
mm-hmm.
wounds with us from the time we were little, and it's about healing the wounds. It's not about running from them or being mad at them. It's and the only way you can heal something is to listen to that wounded part of you. So there is a part of you that's wounded. There's a part of you that feels ripped off. I'm guessing, but I feel it.
Yeah.
There's a part of you that feels ripped off. Like, hold on, whoa, here, I'm now 41. I spent my entire life taking care of everybody, including my own
mm-hmm.
mother,
mm-hmm.
and now I'm 41, and I don't know what it means to love myself. Because I haven't even had a chance in 41 years to focus on just loving myself. I've had to be so busy being busy and needed that what do I do with myself right now? So you're going to create drama and dysfunction just to come in and rescue and save the day.
Mhm. Yeah, I see that, and I just need to concentrate on the positive, and I know that.
But listen, it's not just concentrating on the positive, and this is where I think a lot of people make a mistake. And my philosophy is, it's giving attention to the flawed, wounded, negative part of ourselves. Loving yourself doesn't mean just loving the positive part of you. It means loving the wounded part of you. It means loving that woman in there that's stuck. It's listening
mm-hmm.
to her, asking her, why are you stuck? What do you
yeah.
need? What do you need? Finding that wounded woman who feels ripped off and angry, and letting her tell you, I'm angry. And letting her have that voice. Get out your journal and almost
mm-hmm.
imagine there's two of you. There's the real you. There's the healed you. There's the whole, authentic, loving, peaceful, compassionate, centered you, and that's in there. There's a part
mm-hmm.
of you that it has all those qualities.
Mm-hmm.
And then
Absolutely.
There's the part of you that needs to love the most. Imagine having a little girl that's angry, ripped off, wounded, and she's inside of you, and she's not going to go away until you listen to her.
Give attention and listen.
Give her attention. Talk to her. Listen to her. Let her tell you how she feels and what she needs and why she can't. Who has time to take care of her? She doesn't have time to take care of herself. She spent her whole life taking care of other people. She doesn't know how to take care of herself.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But we just wanted to. You see what I'm saying? So I want you to give yourself permission to let the wounded part of you write a letter. And if you want to share it with me, you can email it to me. And it's just an opportunity. Oh, I've just by accident muted you. Hold on one sec, Erica. You're still there.
Okay.
There,
I'm here.
You're back. You're there.
Yeah. Okay.
And if you want to email it to me, you can email it to me. And then you're going to do your burning ritual. And once you really feel like you've named it and you've claimed it and you really have given that part of you and you really ask that part of you, what do you need to be happy? What do you need to let go? What do you need? See your ex-husband in your mind. See him. What is it you need to say to him? Say it.
Okay.
And then I want you to ask him in your mind, what do I need to do to let go of you? What do I need to do to let go of you? I need to let go of you. It doesn't mean I need to stop loving you. And you can hold on to the good times. Hold on to all the love. Hold on to all the good memories. Hold on to all the good stuff. But it's time to cut the cord with all that pain and suffering.
Right.
But you can't do that until you first hear it and heal it. And you can't heal it until you hear it. And you can't hear it until you're willing to be honest with yourself.
Right. It totally makes sense.
Does it feel like that's gives you some things to
and to work on? And to,
yeah.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, our relationships, all our relationships do. Don't get me wrong. They bring us companionship and love and all those things. But relationships reveal us to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they do. They show. They help us. They become a mirror to show you where you're at. It doesn't matter how much lip gloss you put on or perfume or it's your relationships reveal you to yourself. Are you happy, healed, and whole? Are you wounded, triggered, afraid?
Right.
And if that's what it's revealing to you, then it's time to heal that and love that part of you and listen to that part of you so that you can be happy and healed and whole.
Okay. Exactly.
So that's some stuff for you to think about this week. If you,
you're
around
next
Tuesday, come on back and share with me how your week went.
Okay. Fabulous. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
You're really welcome. Thank you so much. Thanks for calling in. Yvette, any thoughts you want to add to the conversation?
Yeah. Another one that kind of sunk with me, sunk in, is you can't heal it till you hear it. That's pretty powerful. So that's another tweetable moment.
Yeah, and you can't hear it until you feel it. So you got to feel to heal. You have to feel it. And, you know, it's like one of those things I think a lot of us go, who has time for this? I don't have time for this. This stuff takes too much emotional work. But I'm telling you, it takes way more work to carry around baggage for 20, 30, 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much easier just to say, you know what, I'm going to spend an hour this afternoon and I'm going to dialogue with myself in my journal and I'm going to find out who's been running the show. I'm going to find out who's in charge. I'm going to find out what she needs so that she can go on a holiday and let me take over, you know? So it's good stuff.
Well, the other thing is I guess I'll be shaving my legs tonight. And I bet you any woman on this call.
Okay.
I'm
going to tell you this. I had a bath last night, laying in the bathtub with candles lit all around the tub. Aaron sat beside me. On the tub beside me, and I shaved my legs in front of him, and I did it so beautifully. I lathered it up, and I took my time, and he was like, I love watching you shave your legs. It's so sexy.
Yeah, like in the movies.
Like in the movies. Like I literally took my time and shaved, and you know what's funny is I always have a little face cloth in the tub, and I always wash my face, but I always lay it across my chest. So it's not like I'm really fully exposed, even though I am exposed. It's still a bit of mystery. And the face cloth started laid across my chest, and I got my legs, and I'm shaving. And you've got to keep that fun, that little bit of passion. Not that you want to be shaving your legs all the time, because then it would be like, are you shaving your legs in front of me again? Can you do that privately, for God's sake? It's a dance. relationships are a dance. And whether you're in a heterosexual relationship or whether you're a lesbian and in a relationship, it's still a dance. It's still a beautiful dance. It's a balance of going back and forth, of lightheartedness and fun and silly and serious and special and connected. And then space. It's a dance that has to go on. And as long as I think you can keep that dance going, there are times when you want to turn the music off. There are times.
Yeah.
You know, if you just know we're in a dance, and part of the dance sometimes is taking a break. It's not a break from your love, but a break from expecting so much from each other. And I don't know. I think love is the greatest thing in the whole world. And I think a lot of us think we have love and we're just in a power struggle, but the love is under it if you can decide to let go of all the struggle and rise above it. So I hope
you
yes.
And you know what you always say, what would courage have you do? Well, maybe in this situation, what would love have you do?
Yeah, and love is higher. When I'm coaching someone and I've already gotten them up to courage, that is what we start saying. But for most people, when you're first coaching someone, you can't get them up to love yet. That'd be way too high of a jump. You just got to get them into having some courage. And once you're operating as a courageous woman, then you can start saying to yourself, what would love do? What would love look like right now? How would love handle this? How would love say this? But you can't jump to love until you have the courage to honor yourself. Once you have the courage to honor yourself, then you're on your way up to loving yourself and loving other people. Because love isn't just about loving one person or just yourself. When you resonate in love, you love all things. You embody your life with love. You talk with love. You write with love. You paint with love. You parent your kids with love. You are in a relationship with love. It's a way that you interact with the world. And so you've got to first hit courage before you can get all the way up there to love. So great conversation today. I love having these Tuesday chats.
Yeah, whatever involves men and relationships, my ears pick up.
Yeah, today was a good one. I think we can all take some notes from Kelly. Thank you for having the courage, Kelly and Erica, both for coming on today. And we're going to do this again next Tuesday. We also, very exciting, we have a call next Tuesday night with Sonia Choquette. And we were going to do a call tonight, but we've pushed it out a week, and we're changing the theme of the call, not because of any problem. There was no problems. But we've really, really been tossing around. You know, Sonia Choquette and I have never come together and done an event before, and we've just really been talking about, it's the holidays, it's the time of the year. What can we do that's just so beautiful and can really be a major give back to women? And so we're calling our event next Tuesday night Humbled to Healed. We're going to share some of our own most humbling stories and how we healed from them, and we're going to be actually gifting away a Humbled to Healed package that's worth $10,000 worth of some courses that she offers and I offer. And so it's going to be a pretty special night. So next Tuesday night, you'll want to go to SWATinstitute.com to register for that and to get your call-in details. So have a great week, everybody. Yvette, you're not here next Tuesday, are you?
No, I'm going to miss it. All right, I'm going to have to get the recording.
Yes, you'll get it. So, we'll still be doing our Tuesday chat live with Crystal, so I'll be on my own next week. So please do come back, join me, bring your questions, because I'm going to need you to talk to, because I won't have Yvette. So have an awesome week, everyone. Merry Christmas to those who celebrate. Happy Hanukkah, all those fabulous things, the love of the season, the love of the year, and sending you tons of love. Bye for now, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The moderator has left the conference. The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.